Today on the Cooligans, we give you a nice, wholesome, lovely UCL Champions League wrap-up recap. You know you love it. Is Mbappe going to finally turn things around? Why did Dortmund break my heart? And we also do Rapido Reactions to wrap up the show today.
Not bad. And also in between that, sandwich right in the middle, we got a little interview with JJ Bull, the one and only from Tifo IRL. Plus, you've heard him singing songs about everything from Mikel Arteta to Riquelme. The guy's absolutely hilarious. Happy to have him on the show. That and more today on the Cooligans.
So I got to go to an incredible charity event on Tuesday that was called Maestro Cares, which is Mark Anthony's charity.
Did you get to meet Mark Anthony?
I didn't meet Mark Anthony, but I got to see him perform from 8 feet away.
You know what? Close enough.
Pretty good. I had lunch with Mark Anthony.
Bro, yeah. You know what? Mark Anthony went to your gala. That's
awesome. But not only that, I also, one of the people that was being awarded or honored was Rosie Perez for her charity work. So Rosie Perez gave
the boxing commentator?
Aficionado.
Yeah, she's a massive boxing fan.
Without a doubt. Yeah. And she gave a very heartwarming speech on also shortstop for the Minnesota Twins and former Houston Astro World Series winner, Carlos Correa, was there as well. And it was one of these things where I'm like, I cannot believe I'm in the room with these people.
Right.
Where I've gotten to the point where it's not weird that I'm in the room.
You're getting invited to galas.
It's weird for me. But they don't think it's weird.
Of course not.
Which I think is weird that they don't think it's weird.
Of course not.
But the funniest moment was, do you know Ana Navarro?
Of course.
So Ana Navarro was
basically my mom.
Okay, right? So she was there. And she was at like Mark Anthony's table.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a woman at first. So first, my wife saw a woman walking around with a dog. Like a little golden doodle, like a tiny little, maybe Cavapoo. It was a very small dog.
Yeah.
And so she's, and my wife is like, look over there. That's an actress she's like, I've seen her somewhere and she's coming around the dog. And from afar, look, you know, the fluffy dogs, it looked like a scarf. She had the dog on her like shoulder.
You don't see dog on shoulder very often. Okay.
So I'm like, I couldn't see her for a while. And then I finally see her, and I'm like, I tell Helene, I'm like, that's Ana Navarro. She's not an actress. She's on The View. Like,
yeah.
But
she's like a former political pundit.
Yeah. She still is. She was on CNN and stuff like that. She's like a very anti-Trump person.
She's right-wing but anti-Trump.
But then the funniest part was that she didn't like put the dog away anywhere when Mark Anthony was performing. So we're just dancing side to side, and she has this dog on her shoulder, just having a good time with the little puppy that is like, you know, I'm trying to tell the puppy, like, yo, that's Mark Anthony. You should show a little bit more enthusiasm.
You should be wooing. You know,
but it was really cool. And it was a great foundation. And there were kids who spoke and all that stuff. So shout out to Unified Events, which was the group that ran the TST team that I played for, Summer of Soccer. They were the
How
ones
cool
that, that invited me.
So hanging out with Mark Anthony, Rosie Perez, Ana Navarro.
Bam, 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 bam. Okay.
What a nightmare blunt rotation, though. That's awesome.
But it was really, really cool. So shout out to them. So what's it good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans, as always, right here on Yahoo Sports. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are thrilled because we have an incredible show for you today.
What we got for the gang?
And we are also joined by incredible guests, all right? The one and only of TIFO Football, of The Athletic. You know him, you love him. JJ Bull will be
JJ Bull is going to be on the show.
So this is some for people who are
we got to get him singing cool again.
All right. You know, spit some bars.
Yeah. Drop
but for,
drop
for
some bars,
when you hear his voice and when and if you're watching on YouTube and you see him, you will recognize him immediately. But he's someone who, as you're scrolling through Instagram or TikTok, you've seen a lot of those like animated explainer videos sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or tactical breakdowns.
And he is usually the
everyone
the,
knows Tifo IRL, man. I feel like they're everywhere.
I mean, the soccer nerds like us.
Who's
do...
listening to this that isn't a soccer nerd? Christian.
All right, Virgins Unite.
Yeah, that's this guy.
My people.
Yeah.
So JJ will be joining us a little bit. We have to start today by obviously talking about Champions League.
He's on the champions, he's on the Cooligans. We got to get that song
gotta,
too.
Who's going to sing that one? All right.
We got to get a soprano in here,
It
bro.
Is Thursday, December 12th. We got to talk about Champions League this week.
What was this, match day 7?
Match day 6.
This was match day 6.
Correct. And there were a bunch of lovely matches.
They're all kind of bleeding into each other at this point in my brain.
I mean, but with the amount of footy that we consume, that's basically the case. You know, I'm watching a game and I'm like, is this the 1982 World Cup final? I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what I'm
You ever have this conversation with someone who's like a big soccer fan and they'll be like, oh, that's like last season when this guy scored the third goal in the match. And I'm like, there's no way, dude. There's only so much water that fits in this cup. There's no way I could remember any of that.
Sure. I mean, this definitely certain moments. I think the interesting thing about not having playoffs, like in Europe, the European calendar, European football, the table system is lends itself a little bit better to that. Because every sort of game feels like a playoff game.
It's very
game.
Different. Every game is different. Right? So, you're not going home and away. And-
right. So you have a more distinct memory of a regular season game that could be as impactful as impactful emotionally as like a Champions League final or something like that. So, let's get going. Champions League. So on Tuesday, we're starting with Liverpool, right? Yeah, and Liverpool are at the top of the table. They win 1-0 against Girona in a controversial penalty. It's one of those penalties that if this game ended up 2-1 or 3-1 or something like it'd be like, oh, whatever, you know.
Yeah, but because it's 1-0,
because
you're
1-0,
like,
you're like, hey, this didn't feel.
Can we give Girona some flowers, bro? Because I thought they'd completely fall apart after they got rid of all their best player. Dovbik is gone, Savinho's gone, Aleix Garcia, I believe, is still there.
Yeah, yeah.
But they got Danjuma, who's been all around the world.
Everton legend.
Yeah, man. I think he was there for 20 matches.
My man couldn't even. He looked lost.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I don't. You put on an Everton shirt. I don't know if it's
all your superpowers are gone. What happens, bro? An Everton shirt is kryptonite.
Is this made out of kryptonite? Like, why? What's in this fabric?
Yeah,
it's
man.
So.
What are they feeding you?
I don't know. It might be a combination of just like, you know, the beautiful tactical style that Everton Football Club implement. You know what I mean?
Although he wasn't there for the Sean Dyche era, was he?
He was. Yeah, he was there last season on loan, and. You see so it's a combination of that, of like obviously being sarcastic, but the style of play and then the immediate pressure of trying to just stay up, where like
you're forcing things.
Hey, not as fancy anything.
I see a step over, I'm coming out there with a cricket bat.
Okay, because I see a step over, you're stepping off pitch. Okay.
You're on the grounds crew next week.
And that's what Yuma, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm just like, I mean.
When I saw him, I'm like, oh my God, how did he get on this team? But he was actually balling. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say. Bro, Girona was getting past Liverpool's staunch defense. They were cutting him up a little bit in the first half. Enough where I was like, yo, is there some blueprint here of how to play Liverpool so that they don't win the league and Arsenal does? I don't know if I revealed why I want Liverpool to lose there. But. I mean, look, obviously, it wasn't the best, right? At 31% possession, Liverpool clearly were the dominant force here, and they should be.
Sure.
They're not, you know, a small feeder club to Manchester City. But, Girona didn't look out of place.
not at all. And also, I mean, credit to, you know, we've been giving credit to Liverpool the last few weeks for the position that they're in. But to be able to do this in the Premier League, to be first in the Premier League and be unbeaten or just completely just win out so far in Champions mm-hmm. League, it's not easy to do. And you could...
New manager,
but you could argue like, oh, you know, not everybody's playing obviously the same teams and the group that you're in and why whatever. But they seem to have adapted very well to this new format. The fact that they can fairly like prepare for teams pretty well. They play what they beat Real Madrid.
Yeah, no, they've got some pretty big ones. Bayer Leverkusen they took out.
Leverkusen. I mean, they humiliated Leverkusen.
Yeah.
So Arne Slot. And this team, even with you know substitutions, even with changing up the roster for Premier League and Champions League, and to be able to
rotating
do this,
well,
and
yeah.
dealing with I believe Diogo Jota is still injured.
Yeah, of course.
But to be
no disrespect, but the guy sees the physio more than he sees the training ground.
But to be able to be where they are, and go through the adversities of just playing in the Premier League, and giving every player as many minutes as possible. It's a great job. They're doing it. I would also kind of give credit to they don't play in Champions League, but Chelsea as well, to be where they are in the Premier League and be first in Conference League, where it is absurd that they're even in Conference League.
They just played Astana. And I'd be astonished if you knew who or where they are.
And again, but the rotation of players and to be
they have two 11s. They have the Premier League 11 and then the Conference 11, which right. is so smart.
Which and what was it? Cole Palmer is not even a part of the Conference.
No,
League,
they can register him for the knockout stages, but yeah. Look, Chelsea's won every single trophy there is to win except Conference, I think.
I mean, how embarrassing is that for them?
Hopefully
bro?
They win it, right? If you're a Chelsea fan.
I mean, they should. The game that they played against Astana today.
Yeah. What was the final score on that one? Because I was driving.
I think 3-1. 3-1, yeah.
It's not terrible. Astana scored?
They scored, which is
a penalty, right?
I didn't see the goal.
I think it was a penalty.
But the fact that...
Go Astana,
I'm watching the game and I'm like, there's snow around the pitch.
Yeah.
Like they didn't clear up
they're not even playing in their home because they're updating that stadium. They're playing 300.
Why is Astana? I don't even know where it is.
It's Kazakhstan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually want to go to Astana so bad.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I'm just watching it. I see the snow all around the pitch. And there's a part of me is just like, hey, you have guests coming over. Yeah. You don't want to clean up a little bit. I'm not trying to be that guy.
Sweep a little bit. At least throw it under a carpet. You know what I mean? By the way, it wasn't a penalty. But I mean, shouts to Astana. I didn't know there was a club called Astana in Astana, but that makes sense.
Okay.
I feel like you could take any major city and just say that. Other than London, there's no London FC. But every other major city, you could just say that that city name. And they're like, yes, we have one. Madrid. There's two of them. Three of them, really. Right? Barcelona? Yeah, we got that. You know what I mean? Yeah, dude.
And then we also have to discuss Atalanta against Real Madrid.
This was the game of the match day.
I agree. This was a very, very entertaining game. This was a game where arguably Real Madrid are the underdogs. They're struggling right now.
They came in out of form, where Atalanta's coming in big form.
Yeah.
They are balling, man. What an exciting brand of football. Also, one of my favorite things about watching Atalanta is, look, I don't watch them every single week, right? I watch them a lot because mm-hmm. Serie A is covered on CBS and we talk about it a lot. But every once in a while, someone will get passed to and you're like, oh, I remember him. who was brought up a lot? Kolasinac. Remember him at Arsenal?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, who defended what's his name?
Ozil.
From the would-be robbers.
Did you see that clip that was
one of the robbers went on a podcast, bro.
Which is, I'm like, what? Where? This is where we are in the state of just society, where the hero that saved the day from the criminal is like, wow, what Kolasinac, I can't believe he did that. You want to hear his side of the story, and then people are like, nah, we got to hear from the criminal.
I got to be honest, I was really intrigued. My favorite part of that interview, I know we're sidetracking, is he goes, Yeah, so whatever. He's British, but he's like, yo, I cut the monitor off my ankle.
Yeah.
And I said, bro, I'm running. He's like, so I called my boy, and as soon as I called him, he's like, yo, I just cut my ankle monitor, I'm on the run. I'm like, no, so did I. I was like, well, cool, good for you guys.
Yeah, dude. But it was interesting hearing his perspective of like knowing, I guess it was like watches or something he was gonna.
Well, they looked inside the car, and it something like $1.5 million worth of jewelry, which, by the way, look, I'm obviously not siding with the criminals, but you don't go to the ends and flex. I say you get robbed. You got to be valid to pop a chain out in the hood, bro. Don't be coming out here with your Richard Mille. He had three Richard Milles in the car.
Yeah, dude.
$250,000 watches.
I mean, you know, that's not where I keep my Richard Millies.
Yeah. Nah. Okay. Where do you keep it? At the store still? They're holding it for you?
Yeah, I got on layaway.
Yeah, bro. Like 1,700 more payments, bro. That's your boys.
But no, I thought after Real Madrid win this game 3-2, a very important goal from Bellingham. But I think the story here is
Mbappe injury.
Mbappe's injury. I thought, I don't know how. De Ketelaere?
Charles De Ketelaere.
De Ketelaere. The miss.
CDK.
The penalty was spectacular, but the miss.
You think the miss was, what about Retegui's miss?
Oh.
At the end of the match, which Retegui, again, was playing, couldn't even get on Boca Juniors.
Wow.
Okay?
He could get on Boca.
Bro, honestly, you might, this year, they stink. Couldn't get on Boca Juniors in the Argentinian League. Got loaned to Tigre. Shouts to all the Tigres out there, bro. Mm-hmm. In the second division. Happens to be Italian. The Italian national team has no strikers. They're like, well, let's try this kid in the second division in Argentina. And now he's the top scorer in Serie A at Atalanta. Think of that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Mbappe getting injured. I think it's, we might end up seeing a better Real Madrid. I mean, look, he got a great goal.
Is it better or is it just more fluid? They play with better chemistry because that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
I also think Bellingham is like, bro, I'm done.
You think he's over it?
No, he's like not done with Real Madrid. I think he's like, I'm done with all the arguing and you people trying to decide whose team this is. It's my team,
right,
bro.
Right, right, right.
At some point, he's just like, man, just pass me the ball. Because he gets really frustrated when like Mbappe misses or Vinicius doesn't pass or Mbappe doesn't pass to Vinicius. He gets frustrated. He's also the one telling people when to press, where to go. Yeah. Jude Bellingham is like, bro, I'll be the adult in the room. I don't care if I'm 21 years old.
Yeah, he's not over. He's like, there's too much drama.
Right.
Too much consistent drama week after week with this team, especially after winning Champions League. And like, they clearly... It was fine last year.
It's just been a couple months. What happened? Yeah, bro, you're fine. Remember when we met Jude Bellingham in Dortmund? Bro, he was like, had no reason to come up to us. He goes, hello, what's up, fellas?
Yeah.
Where are you from? We're like, New York. He goes, oh, that's right. I love New York. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. And I was like, I'm sorry, was that my dad's best friend? Right? He had that like, well, hello, boys. How are you guys doing? Are we playing safe outside?
Carries himself with definitely you wouldn't say.
Majority
what,
we don't have.
21, 22. He's very young. So after this game and watching the post-match interview he had done with Micah. And
gave him a big hug.
And with Del Piero.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of... like, whoa, we just got out of that.
And
it's just like for a Real Madrid team to like be under that much pressure, it's pretty rare. It's weird, like
not this season, but they are only second in La Liga. They're finally back into the, at least the knockout stages.
Sure. Maybe the more of the pressure
table for me so I can see where they are.
This is the Champions League table. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Where are they?
19th?
No, 20th. I mean,
is fine. They're in the knockout stages, right? You want to be above 24.
Yeah. They're in the the playoffs.
The playoff round.
So they don't get into the round of 16.
Two extra matches, which they probably don't
need. No, but Real Madrid and Manchester City, and not necessarily equivalent from a a league level, but they're kind of like going through like just
bit of a rut. City much more than Real.
Without a doubt. But they're in a period of some level of transition where Real Madrid is trying to adjust to this new superstar and Manchester City is trying to adjust to their aging superstars and how to like make it all work. But no, this is just again, having that just seeing that level of relief that Bellingham was displaying, I'm like... Where after the game, I'm like, oh man, all, you know, I was like, poor Real Madrid. Like, I'm glad they got those points. They really needed, something good to happen.
Oh, finally. Something good happens to the little guy. You know?
Where that's how much of a sort of rut they've kind of been in. But I did love the goal from Mbappe. I thought that was
But most importantly, it was like he played central. He took the right touch.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely. He turned the defender. I'm like, it's kind of what a nine is supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't say you don't want to be a nine if you're showing you can actually do it.
That was impressive. We'll talk about some of the teams that have just been eliminated. Right.
What are you going to say about Young Boys? What are you going to say about Sturm Graz? Slovan Bratislava and RB Leipzig.
RB Leipzig is the one that it's kind of crazy that they've been this bad in Champions League.
Did you see their fixtures were that? But that was the toughest schedule. So the fact that they haven't even gotten a draw, they haven't been able to tough out a draw, stinks. I feel bad for them in a way because, you know, whatever, right?
Juve, Liverpool, you can't lose. I mean, we're all due respect.
Celtic at home.
Still.
Nah, dude, going away to Celtic is crazy.
Not even a draw?
Going away to Celtic is crazy.
All right, Inter Milan, 1-0 loss. That understandable. But then a 3-2 loss to
Aston Villa. That was probably the game where I thought, maybe they'll get a point here.
That was John Durant scored in that goal was.
Come on. It's every John Durant goal. It's like a better highlight than the
last. Why is he only scoring these goals?
Have you thought about just taking a simple touch, buddy?
Setting them up for a nice poacher's goal is not part of the game plan for
Aston
Villa.
Greg Berhalter was like, can we get him back in Chicago? At least alone. Young Boys, they're getting beat like they were running in the supermarket. My mom was there. Am I right? Young Boys?
Boy.
Huh?
What's that? Your mom clapping?
Yeah.
You love that joke?
Did your mom ever yell at other people's kids running around in the supermarket or the stores?
My mom is not that kind of mom.
No?
No.
Yeah, you really missed out.
No. I mean, she'll make a comment.
Oh, really?
You know?
Mom's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, we don't hit the white ones. That's how they make us go back to Cuba. No.
There's a severe penalty for
that. Yeah, they really get upset with those.
Okay, so let's get back to the matches real quick. Juventus Man City, we got to talk about the American connection.
Oh, bro.
Putting the hammer down on Manchester City.
That's the first time an American assisted an American scoring in the Champions League. Bruh.
Unbelievable.
America's up right now, dude.
Okay. I mean, not geopolitically, but definitely in football.
Everyone hates us, but like in football, in particular, around the stadium where Juventus plays, we are balling right now, bro. We are
to see Timothy Weah and Weston McKennie get that goal. Overall, there's nothing really new to say about Manchester City's performance. It is the same. They have unbelievable defensive just lapses of judgment. It's hard to see who to blame.
Here's what I'll say. For every watch back that goal where Weston McKennie scores,
mm-hmm.
Watch the build up to that. Because if you do, then you will start to say, you know what? Maybe losing Rodri, the Ballon d'Or winner, is a big deal. Because what you'll notice is Gundogan, right there, Gundogan, no man's land. Watch them all run past Gundogan. Now, who was supposed to be the guy to step in that space? Gundogan. Now, look at this. Look at Gundogan just lightly jogging.
Yeah.
And look at who was supposed to cover McKennie.
Literally no urgency. Obviously, we can't show it on YouTube. But
if Rodri was there, he would have been in a spot where McKennie would not have been able to make that run. That's something so simple.
Yeah.
Something so simple as a defensive midfielder that can really patrol very well.
But that's really the main thing. I mean, the way Manchester City is playing is this double pivot with two midfielders that are not really defenders.
Because,
and that's not the priority.
Because you're trying to find two players that can do this as much as one.
Yeah. And
you know what? Gundogan after the match said, you know, it's we got to figure out what to do because we've been in I'm paraphrasing. He said, we're kind of in a rough period. He said something about jewels, like we're fumbling the jewels or something.
Not the family.
Oh,
jewels.
No. Good luck. Good luck, everybody. Everyone protect yourself down there. But he basically said like, every counter seems so much more dangerous.
Yeah.
And while I checked this morning, I ran the numbers. They are not facing more counter attacks, but every counter attack is more dangerous. It leads to a better chance. And suddenly you're tracking back faster. You're running back and forth more and with more intensity. At the end of the game, you're tired. And when are these teams scoring against Manchester City?
Yeah, yeah. This is a, you know, in that goal, in that McKennie goal, there is the... It's not lack of effort.
Youthful exuberance of McKennie and Weah.
Yeah, but you just see there's blood in the water, right? Yeah. You see the players are like, oh, they turned over the ball. Like, as soon as the turnover happens, because you comprehend that this with this lineup, that they're most likely trying to play with maintain possession.
Right.
And we're just gonna
bore you to death,
and we're gonna get a couple goals. But as soon as teams are just like, all right, we'll just wait. Like, you can have the ball. And we know, you know, if we can stop Erling Haaland 2-3 times, like the save that
oh my God.
That he made, that's you. If you can get 2 or 3 just spectacular plays like that,
stand on your head type saves,
you have a really good chance of beating Manchester City. And then towards the end of a game when they have to send numbers forward,
you sub in some young legs and you good.
And that's the thing is, like, they wait, you know, the whole Barcelona situation that they were having with financial stuff, and they were like, oh, we got Ilkay for $0 or whatever. Yeah. We got him back. Like, it's gonna be great. We're gonna go, but just it's gonna continue.
This 34-year-old's gonna save the day.
And you're obviously seeing the injury to Rodri. And just, I can't understand why Pep has not just said, Rico, you be the defensive mid, and John Stones, I believe, is injured as well.
Rico, so is Kovacic, who could have.
Kovacic is injured.
Who could have probably.
But things were also still pretty bad with Kovacic,
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great, but at least he's built to play that position. But I agree with you. I mean, you've got what's his face? Rico Lewis, who's a right back.
Mm hmm.
Playing as a right forward, right wing forward. And you're like, bruh, I have a feeling a defender might be helpful in this area versus Gundogan, who's, even though he had played, remember, he was successfully playing in that defensive midfielder role last or two seasons ago when they won the Champions League, but that's because he was going forward. Everyone's going forward. And now teams are realizing, all right, if John Stones steps forward, if Gvardiol steps forward and you leave your area, you ain't got someone to stop me from now getting in that area, so we're just going to attack that area.
Even the first goal, the Vlahovic goal, I forgot.
It was a header that barely went in.
Yeah, but
there was like two defenders on him. Gvardiol tried to stop it.
I think it was like a poor clearance or something. I forgot why they got the opportunity again. But
I don't recall right now. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
There's just, they look like a team much lower sort of in the table, or just like kind of a mid-level, mid-table team when it comes to sort of defensive issues. They just like make all these like unbelievably rudimentary kind of mistakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I feel like Gvardiol gets a lot of the focus because he is... He also sometimes looks the most disheveled whenever they do give up a goal.
Well, he does the Bruno Fernandes sometimes. He looks like very lost or very frustrated.
Yeah. Which is,
and you're like, the camera's going to stay on you if you keep doing that.
It's surreal. I mean, we're talking about it every single week, but it's just like, it just makes no sense that they are this bad. But again,
it is crazy. Look, I thought when they lost Rodri, I'm like, oh, man, he papered over a lot of cracks on this team. So
yeah.
It's going to be tough, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
No, I'm happy for McKennie in particular, because he was on the I'm surprised he was even playing. I thought he was still injured, but he was on the Serie A broadcast of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Who was asking him?
Grella
was asking him about like proving yourself, and he made an interesting point about he's like, every summer it's like I have to reintroduce myself, and like, it's like I didn't do anything sort of for this club, but that kind of fuels him as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I feel like Weston McKennie has had so many moments of not only just proving himself, but he did a goddamn scissor bicycle. Like,
please, this guy has a highlight like every few weeks.
For Juventus, he has way more highlights than some of his teammates.
Yeah.
The idea that he is like just simply not respected or
well, Thiago Motta said like he's a great guy to have around, he's big energy, we can trust him when he comes in. Bro, a couple months ago you were saying, get out my squad, you ain't part of my plan.
I don't get it. Maybe it's a negotiation tactic of like, I don't know, maybe it's like money or maybe new contract. I don't know what it is.
I think the big issue with him is that he looks a little chubby. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So when you come in, if you're a new manager and this guy comes in from, you think, oh, he didn't do anything all summer.
Right.
Because he just carries a little bit more extra weight than everyone else. But that's just his look.
It
he's
is,
in
yeah.
tremendous shape.
Yeah, he's in very good shape. I was also looking at, when you look at older pictures of Weston McKennie when he was playing at the youth national level.
FC Dallas and stuff.
FC Dallas, but like at the youth national teams with Pulisic and everybody when he was like, you know, 16, 17. And you look at him and he's just like, he's definitely slimmer.
Yeah.
But his face almost is the same. Like
he's got the chipmunk.
He has like, he just sort of carries weight a little bit differently than everybody else. But when you see him on the field, you wouldn't say like, hey, that guy's slow.
No, not at all.
Or you wouldn't say
he's taking a playoff. Never does.
Not
the
at
guy's
all.
An energy guy. He's fast as hell.
Exactly. So and just not only the goal was great, but the ball to Weah. To set him up on that run to then
he's
you know,
good at that man he's so good at that like diagonal
I mean
pass.
Again it's just like how long are we gonna do this you know I saw the clip from the Pulisic documentary
maybe do it forever bro because it seems to make him a good player
but how long are we gonna do the like oh I don't know about this guy yet
that's
same
what I'm
thing.
Saying yeah. do it every year bro it seems to make him better
because he is absolutely balling there and it's great to see obviously Tim Weah thrive too because it was a great play not just for them individually but like just for Juve and just like the USMNT it was a good highlight and good commercial
yeah for sure
the last game I want to talk about is Borussia Dortmund against Dortmund
and Gio Reyna spotted
Gio Reyna starts this game which got I was just hype I'm like oh he not only is he back but they give him the start against
and
Barcelona
70 minutes.
And I'm like, yo, the hammies held up.
Right.
But this was a game that had no goals in the first half. This felt like I was honestly watching this game and I was genuinely mad at Borussia Dortmund.
Because of the way it sort of collapsed when Ferran Torres came in?
100%.
Yeah.
Where I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a Dortmund fan. But we've been there.
We have an affinity to the club.
Yeah. And there's a real connection there. I would like them to do well. I want Gio Reyna to do well. And the especially the last goal. The last goal, the giveaway.
Yeah.
Where I was like, they were pressing. They were gonna Dortmund could have won this game.
Yeah.
They were putting Barcelona under some real pressure, facing a lot of threats. And I think it was Pascal Gross, I believe, that gave the ball away.
I don't remember.
Because he subbed on. I don't remember who gave the ball away. I think it was to Gittens.
Okay.
So basically, they're like, the ball goes out basically to near the sort of the top of the box, like near the touchline. And Gross is trying to loop the ball over the defender to get it to Gittens. I believe these are the two players involved. But looping, so he over hits it, and this is where it gets to like a Ferran Torres or somebody, and then they just running, and then it leads to a goal. And it's like y'all had the I understand if you give up a goal, like the great play Barcelona does something.
Right.
They had the ball.
All he
had to do was take a touch, and control the ball, and then go back forward to continue trying to attack.
Right.
But he was like, nah, let me play this back in the most dangerous. Right. Ridiculous pass.
Essentially, pass it to Barca.
Without a doubt. But not only pass it to Barca, but pass it to Barca like, yo, I'm going to send a through ball.
Essentially,
perfectly
to
you. So now you can run at full speed.
You can't even be offside because I'm passing it to you. How great is that?
So, such a frustrating.
Ferran Torres came in as a sub and scored two goals. But you want to hear something funny. Hansi Flick, did you see the post game?
I didn't.
So there's the video, the camera switches to him with his arm around Ferran Torres, and he whispers something in his ear before he comes in, and then he scores two goals. So the first question was, I need to know, what did you whisper in Ferran Torres' ear before he went on? And Hansi Flick goes, I told him, score two goals. That was like, oh, that's a great line right there, bro. Damn, bro. Wow. You got him.
The inspiration. I'm watching Rudy?
Yeah,
what is this?
Say that more often, bro.
Score two goals. Okay. This is why Ancelotti's not telling Mbappe. That's the problem.
Bro. Ancelotti's like, I should start telling him to score if that's all it takes.
But such a frustrating result, I think, for a Dortmund fan. Because at the very least, they should get a point here. And also, Barcelona were another team that kind of needed the point as well.
I mean, they're pretty high up now in Champions League. I believe it's Liverpool, Barca, Arsenal.
Yeah. They're above. We'll look at the table now. They're above.
Yeah, it is. Liverpool, yeah, Barca,
they're
Arsenal.
They're in second now. But yeah, huge, very, very a big missed opportunity, I think, for Dortmund there. They really should have done better. But I did like Giorena's performance for a guy who
wasn't tremendous, but for a guy who's been out for so long and hasn't played yet, this is great.
And you know, first came back, you're playing against Barcelona. Mm-hmm. I liked the courage he played with.
Also, he must have impressed in training if he got that start, which
sure.
is great.
Yeah. He played a lot of very forward passes. He was trying to give the ball away a couple times, but in the attempt to make place a through ball and stuff like that. So I love the confidence that he played with. And as long as the hammies hold up,
buddy, yeah, put them on ice.
You love to see it. All right, we're gonna chat with JJ Bull now.
That's exciting.
And talk some, some Tifo football, some
music, some Scotland,
music, some the nerdy stuff. This is why this is why you listen to a soccer podcast to begin with, for people like this. So let's get to it. Here's our convo with JJ Bull right after this.
Look at the guests we get here.
All right. Sometimes they come into the studio. Sometimes, you know what? There's an ocean that just gets in the way of them coming to the studio.
And for some reason, our budgets don't allow us to fly them in. we'll talk to Yahoo about it.
We will figure out the reason why the budgets are the way they are.
I'm upset about it, to be honest with you.
And I'm glad this guest is here to remind us about the budget.
And let me tell you something. We are comedians in the soccer space, mm-hmm. but very rarely do we get people in the soccer that are also have the voices of angels. These are singing sensations.
That's right. I mean, this man has too many talents.
And also funny. So, bro, why are you trying to do us up, bro? Why are you trying to outshine us? Okay. Who we're talking about is, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only. You know him from TIFO. You follow him on the internet. JJ Bull, everybody.
JJ, what's up, man?
Hello.
Is that your real name, bro?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's that.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
See you later. Got a flight to catch. Yeah.
JJ Bull is a very cool name. I don't know. The first instinct that maybe I don't know if it's just as a person on the internet or just as a New Yorker, I'm like, hey, what's that about? That's just.
I know, right?
Are you a Sopranos
Who are you hiding from, bro?
I'll never tell. Yeah. I'll never tell.
What family did you leave behind and put on this fake Scottish accent?
Well, I can tell you the thing. Like, so my name on like my driving license and passport, whatever, is Joseph. But no one calls me that unless it's the police, who rarely call.
Full disclosure, we met Seb Stafford Bloor on a Bundesliga trip.
In Germany.
And
yeah.
we were like, oh, I was like, yo, Seb. How do I know you, dog? And he was like, oh, I do stuff with Tifo. I was like, yo, I'm a big JJ Bull fan, which is probably not what Steph wants to hear. You know, he wants to hear I'm a big Steph guy.
Seb doesn't want to hear that.
I know.
That's true.
So I was talking to Seb and I was like, bro, JJ, big fan. And it was just because like you seem to come at it from such an odd angle, which is similar to like what we're doing. Was that the thought process behind sort of the personality you've put out in the world in the football space?
It's odd because I don't think it's like a personality I'm putting out. I'm just doing what I like. Like, I think football is a game. It's a game that children play. It's a sport. People take it very seriously, but essentially it's a game. I just like things that are funny. Everything should be funny to me. I don't like doing anything serious. Anything that becomes like weighed down or dramatic, don't really like it. I like things that make me laugh. And I found that because I really like football, I really like watching funny things. Like, I always wanted to be a writer for The Simpsons. That was my dream job.
There you go.
So I always wanted to do that. And like I was just saying before, like, I absolutely love stand-up comedy, and I've watched like everyone to death. Never done it, but like playing gigs, I play a lot of gigs with music and stuff like that, where you're basically doing bits, you know, in between songs and stuff like that. So I'm hosting pub quizzes as well. It's like similar in like performance.
You say you want to do, you want to do everything funny. Have you met other football fans? Have you ever come across any of them? Because they seem to be pretty tribal with this kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. But then like, it's different. Like I grew up in Aberdeen, and so everyone supports Aberdeen there. Well, they kind of do, but some people support Man United when we were growing up because they were doing really well. I think I also like doing the opposite of what people are doing. Like, if I had gone down, if I was being serious, there would be no point in talking to me, because what am I going to do? Tell you some interesting stuff about football? Like, I'm not a football manager. I'm not a football player, but I can. It's just the thing that I can do. I don't know. I hadn't thought of it like a. It's interesting you said like putting a personnel out, you know, because it's. I think people who are just maybe authentic, it comes across better.
No, I guess so. No, what you're doing is good because it's organic to who you are. We obviously are. We started because we're comedians and we're like, yo, we got nothing to do during the day, so maybe we should turn on these microphones, start talking about football, because we met a season ticket holders to New York City FC, which is a team here in MLS. Well, we knew each other from the comedy scene, but we decided to do this because of our love of football. But the reason why I think TIFO stood out to us, and when I first started watching you guys, it was like You Max Bet or something like that. You Bet Max.
Yeah, back in the day, it was Joe, because Joe Devine is like the genius behind it all. That sounded like I was being condescending. I wasn't. He's the guy.
You're like the
it
genius.
All.
You did the little bunny ears.
No, like Joe's, like Joe's a genius. He made that thing. Like he's just the loveliest guy.
Yeah,
and Joe did all that sort of stuff. Back there, but it's kind of funny. I was going through emails at some point to find like an old email Joe had sent me once for work or whatever, and I ended up finding that he'd tried to get me to work for him back in the UMagsit days as well, like doing commissions on him, because I do little drawings as well, you know. So I was going to get asked to do that back in the day, like well before our paths did cross professionally. I thought that was quite cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it went from there, and then it developed into what it is, and That's all Joe Devine and the work of Alex Stewart and Seb Stafford Bluer as well, of course. It was them that set it up. They set the groundwork up for me to turn up and annoy people, and hopefully I get a couple more years out of it.
Yeah, I'm curious, but you make the joke about annoying people, and that is there. Given trying to be comedic in this space can introduce a couple.
It ruffles a couple feathers.
It can introduce a couple challenges.
Yeah,
Like Alexis mentioned, it is. Very tribal, but there's something to, if you find your community of people who are into what you do, whether it is something, some people might describe like TIFO as like kind of nerdy, right? But if that is what piques your interest, then I think that can like just totally work.
Yeah. Being around to explore that.
Exactly. It's for the people that are into that. Just like people who we resonate with people who enjoy stand-up comedy and also enjoy football. But we've also rubbed elbows with people who really just do not like what we do.
Yeah. May like us.
And I don't care about like comments on the internet. Oh, adorable. Lovely.
Thanks for wasting your time.
But it's like when you actually meet an ultra like in person and they're like, hey, man, not really a fan and stuff like that. Has that even come across? Because I think the perception that we sort of have of especially like English football fans, that you can come across these people from time to time. Has that ever happened to you at all?
No.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for being on.
I'm glad. Well,
I think one of the things, actually, it is relevant though, because I agree with what you're saying. And I think the people I find who don't like the cut of my jib are kind of people who work within like the media industry. Because a lot of them take themselves very seriously. I couldn't tell you a single one on air, but there's some people who would just not like, I know, and you know, things that I would find funny because it should be presented as a real thing. And I understand why that is, but I don't see why you can't just, I mean, I'm not always daft, you know, sometimes I do actual serious analysis of things, but I just find anything like that becomes boring after a while. I need to change it to do something else. You know, it's like fidgeting. If you're just sat down doing the same thing for ages, you have to be able to dart around totally. And do something different. So like that. And like in terms of like talking to ultras, I mean, I find if I talk to someone who is like serious, it's but you code switch depending on who you talk to.
Yeah.
So if they don't like what you're doing on the internet. They don't have to follow it. That's kind of easy.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm on the TV, you know, and they have to watch me on Match of the Day or something like that. And I find that maybe you have the same thing in the US, but like a lot of football discussion when I was growing up was quite laddie and reduced to quite a, this might sound pretentious, but like a non-intellectual way of talking about something. Uh-huh. And like I would like to talk about like comedy and football in the same way. I like to deconstruct things and like analyze what, like why that works and like, you know, why a Norm MacDonald joke is so perfect or like why like this is so there and that sort of works. But in football, it's the same sort of thing. But if people are just saying stuff which is clearly wrong, then I like to find a way to prove them that is wrong.
Yeah, sure.
So a lot of things, especially in my career, even what I've done, I think is I do the thing that is like the opposite to what people think, if that makes sense. And so like if they think a thing, I like to show why that is, but then I don't take myself seriously, so that I couldn't do it super real. And if you try and stand up and be like, yeah, this is what it is, I wouldn't enjoy that. But I think I get away with being silly because the butt of the joke normally is me.
Yeah, I think that self-deprecating, I think always works. And it's funny you said Norm MacDonald because he hosted my TV debut, so I got pretty cool with him for a little bit before.
No way.
Yeah, before.
Oh my God, he's like my, I love that guy so much.
But you want to hear the funny thing? Our call time was about 4 hours before. It was a live show, so before the show started. He had his own green room. He didn't want to be with the four of us who were performing on the show that day. By happenstance, I happened to interact with him in the hallway, and I knew he was a big sports fan. So the first thing I did was talk about the Knicks, who were about to hire a new coach. And bro, we talked for the next 4 hours. He was like, I was the only person he wanted to talk to. He was going in for hair and makeup. He's like, yo, come with me. So I got my hair and makeup done before the other guys were going up, and we had a really cool relationship. We actually ended up having a really funny interaction on stage where he like pretended he didn't know what a cooligan was, and he was like, oh, I guess I owe this guy $20.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
It was super cool, and I ended up being cool with him
for
a little bit after that. But the funny thing is, he was the same way about comedians would talk about comedy, which is like, you know, when we all sit around after a show or whatever, we all go to a diner. Like, I have a group of comedian friends that we all go get breakfast on the Sundays, and we'll dissect the joke down to the word. We try not to talk about work, but we'll go down, no, that word is wrong, or you're saying that too fast, or
yeah, I
love
we get
down
stuff,
to the nitty gritty. Yeah. Norm MacDonald was the same way, but about sports. And so are you, in a way, where you guys, I remember one of my favorite things was, I was watching Brighton games when De Zerbi was the coach, and I'm like, man, they just will wait it. Well, they'll wait out until the pressure comes to them. And then like maybe a week later, or maybe 2 weeks later, I see on my Instagram, I think it was, you guys talking about the defender putting his foot on the ball and waiting,
right. Yeah,
which he got from like
that was John McKenzie spotted that. John's also a genius. Just like spots things that no one else.
That's where my question was going to come from. You guys sometimes, like, I'll watch a game and I get frustrated. Sometimes I'm like, why can't I figure out why this is happening? I see it happening, but I can't figure out why this is happening. And I hate deducing it all to like, well, the manager asked them to. I want to see like, I want to see why sometimes. And then you guys will pinpoint that thing. Is it a team of people, or do you just have like some genius locked in a room and he doesn't get fed until he figures out why City is failing?
Well, I already told you, it's Jose Toro.
The damn genius, the marionettes, man.
The Wizard of Oz.
yeah, this is not real. No, it's just us individually. So I think there's a couple of things we can like unpack out of that. I think again, it's very nice you said that about it, and I'm glad that's what comes across. I think what I spot in it are like patterns. When I watch football, I see like a giant child. The thing I like most about football is like the noise and the colours and the like, you know, if it's red versus blue, I'm really into it. If it's like Aston Villa versus West, I don't care. Yeah. I don't, because it's not the same. It's not the colours. So I think, you know, it's repeatable patterns. I think being quite bad at football with my legs but good with my head has made me observe what people are doing. So I know what I want to do, but I can't quite do it. But then you see patterns. I think it's related to video games as well, honestly. Because if you're quite good at video games, you can see why things are going to work the way they are, and you can anticipate what probably should happen. And I think it's about, I'm not saying that I am, but I think a lot of it would be a little bit of like maybe emotional understanding of what players might be thinking in certain situations, being able to relate to what they'd be doing in these such situations and why, learning the context of why you would do that. Because the thing with football is funny, right? So if the game's live at 8 p.m., you know, obviously at night, I was going to say, it's the same time there when it is here. Yeah. Like 8 p.m. doesn't change. You know? But like, so 8 p.m. at night, and they play there and it's a big game, if you watch it live, it will feel different to when you watch it back the next morning or in the afternoon. It's just different, especially if it's not live. It's really odd. Even watching a game live and there's a slight delay on the feed you're watching, it's just slightly different. I don't know what that is. So there's all these like different things, the way you can analyze it, you can be really, really cold with it. And you can, another thing that I found interesting always is that people say that's what they did and that's why he did this. I'm like, but I don't know whether it's the player who's come up with that themselves or whether the manager's told him, and kind of what you're saying there, you know, because like, but you can work out what you would do if you're coaching. Like, how would you make that happen on the pitch? If you're a player and you've been told to do this, but you see this, when did you do that? And I find that fascinating whenever I get to speak to coaches or managers, get to ask them that sort of stuff, or players even. Like what they were thinking, or because a lot of it's instinct, and the problem is they can't even tell you what they're doing, but they had to have that structure around them in the first place to be able to do it. And I find that really fascinating. But like John finds all these things in football as well. John watches about 18 games of football a day, and then reads and talks about it the rest of the time. Like he is the top of the tier of knowing what's going on.
We've done those ambush comedy shows where
we've experienced that.
The old guy at the bar who just, you know, who's a detective whose partner was just shot, who wants nothing but whiskey, did not want to hear me talking about my dick on a microphone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here we are.
Like comedy's happening to them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I was doing that. And then it's funniest for the people who I could see who did not want to be there. And you know what it's like when you're performing and you can tell people don't really want it.
Yeah.
You know what that's like. And you're like, okay, well, I'll get through this and do things. Anyway, as soon as I finished, it was like 5 minutes later, I'd finished and just packing up. And then I was on the giant screens doing the exact same thing. And you can see everyone going like,
oh,
what? this guy.
I should have respected him more.
Why is he on TV?
Yeah. How can he be here and on the TV?
This box is a liar.
I love that. Because you didn't have to do the, you know where I performed. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Who cares about that?
You're going to be telling your kids you met me, you prick.
Incredible.
What is your goal then? What is your goal? Because do you want to work for a club or be some type of analyst for a club? Do you want to be... sell, you know, go platinum with it, with your songs? Like what's your goal?
I mean, that would be pretty good. I would like that. And I just like doing stuff that's fun. I like being funny. So like I said, I really watched Right for the Simpsons when I was younger. And there was someone said this to me recently. It was such a nice, I think it was an email. It was so nice. They were saying how, so I always think I wanted to do that, but I like football as well. And so what I'm maybe doing now is a combination of things I always wanted to do. You know, I'm just doing funny bits. I like doing basically stand-up comedy without actually risking going and doing stand-up, knowing that I would ruin every joke I try and tell out loud if it's on purpose. If I can make it up on the spot, then I'm okay. I get away with that. So like maybe improv's for me. And but doing I mean, what would be amazing is if I can just keep doing this and keep getting paid. If I can get paid more, you know, I'd like to get paid more money.
That would be lovely.
Everyone should get paid more, especially I really am putting myself at the top of a list there. If there's a queue, I want to be. And I said like that. But I'd like to be able to imagine I could come to New York and play a gig there and people came to watch the football song.
Wait,
that'd
why
be
don't
cool.
you? We'll do the gig with you.
We'll how about we collab? We'll do stand up and you can do.
Let's do it.
This is a
bro, I'm being serious.
This is now a business meeting.
Yeah,
no,
I can do that.
To do that.
Do you know Mark Grebby? If I can borrow his stuff, I don't have to take it with me.
Buddy, we'll take you to Sam Ash. It's a big music store. You can rent whatever.
You know what?
Okay, let's do that.
You know what?
I'll do that. I'm dead serious.
So
I'll
are we.
So are we. Okay. The one thing I was thinking is, I don't know if you consume anything NFL, but there was just this weekend, they did a virtual sort of broadcast of The Simpsons as an NFL game. So basically, you're watching the 22 NFL footballers on the field, but they're all like Simpsons characters.
They're superimposed Simpsons characters.
They're superimposed, but it's the actual... It's the actual game. So you're watching a sort of simulcast.
Like a big like TikTok filter or Instagram filter or
yes.
Snapchat filter.
Cool. And first thing on my mind is... We need to do this in the Premier League. Have Simpsons characters as the footballers, JJ Bull doing the broadcast. Because shout out to Mina Kimes, who is an NFL analyst, and she's also a huge Simpsons fan, and she inserted tons of Simpsons references in her commentary.
I would not have gotten most of these.
Oh yeah, you missed out on a bunch. But this is. up, right up JJ's wheelhouse.
You are the center of that Venn diagram. That little NFL looking football
area.
Whatever
we got to do to make something like this happen, this needs to happen in football, in European football. So that's cool, just another, again, we're just brainstorming.
We're Americans. We're business. You know
after
what I mean?
The Cooligans JJ Bull tour wraps up, we can start thinking about how to integrate Simpsons.
We could definitely put on a show in New York easy, by the way.
Yeah, that'll be a breeze. So, all right. That'll be fun. We'll talk about that later. All right.
Okay.
But we should wrap up here.
But I want to ask you before we wrap up. Talk to me about Aberdeen, who have now turned the Premiership into a three-horse race, buddy. They were what? Yeah. Only, what do you call it? They had only, at one point, they had only won. They had not lost or drawn for a significant period there.
Yeah, we went like 15 games without losing, which is pretty nuts. In fact, I think we won every single
one. You did,
one.
You won all 15?
I've never seen it for Aberdeen ever. I was born in 1985, and that was the last year Aberdeen won the league.
Oh, wow. You just missed out on Scotland, the Sir Alex Ferguson era, huh?
That's exactly it. So that was his last year. He left and he went to Man United. So I don't know how much you'll be familiar with Scottish football, but like Rangers and Celtic are these two huge clubs.
Yeah. I literally just pulled that Sir Alex Ferguson was the manager in 1985. Exactly. And you want to ask me how much I know about the Premiership?
Well, you never know. I don't want to assume that anyone doesn't know things that they might do. Some Scottish guy lecturing the Americans on the football, you know. But the there's two teams that always win it and everyone supports them and all the media is about Rangers and Celtic and I don't like that and I don't think that should be the case and Aberdeen have a rich history and also they won the league a couple of times in the 80s but also we beat Real Madrid who you'll definitely have heard of in 1983 in the Cup Winners' Cup which is an old tournament doesn't exist anymore and it was really fun and that was a cool thing so I mean that's absolutely mad that should never have happened then it would never happen again. But that's the kind of thing that we are accused of dining out on forever. But like Aberdeen this season, so last season we were terrible. We're flirting with relegation, really close to that sort of world. New guys come in called, his name's spelt Jimmy Tilleen, but it's Jimmy how you say his name if you're wanting to be super specific. And it's just made them really fun to watch. Performing a little bit above what the... performance. I mean, the data shows underlying that we're going to probably balance out in the end, but it's really fun. It's really nice. Like, I don't know how much you see yourself in the teams you support, but like, if Aberdeen lose in the weekend, it does make me it ruins it.
Yeah. So again, he's an Aberdeen fan. And,
so
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I tend not to text him after matches. I'm an Arsenal fan, bud. So bit of a roller coaster.
Ah, that's okay though. That's okay, but there's it's nice. I wonder if it's different supporting the team where you're from as well. Like, because people will form. It doesn't make your support of them any less valid. You know, you can support anyone you want from all over the world. You can get obsessed with it. People are obsessed with Liverpool, and they live in, I don't know, Nigeria, India. You know, they get right into this sort of stuff. So, but then because it's, I feel a lot more connection to Aberdeen now. I don't live there. I live in London, so. It's sort of like makes me know I'm where I'm from.
Sure.
So, and also when where I'm from is doing well and is successful, it makes me feel that I also am successful. So when they're doing badly, then it feels like life's not as good. It's a bit stupid.
We also have
an
interesting affinity, I think, for Aberdeen. You have the kit.
I have a throwback kit. I have like the 86 kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, do like you? The shoulders are melting. It's like Umbro. It's a really big badge, which I love. And, it's red and yellow collar, but it's mostly
and
blue.
We also had Ramirez. Christian Ramirez played
in America
For Aberdeen for maybe 2 years, I think. But he was on the show.
So, yeah.
He did the show when he was at Aberdeen.
Did he? That's really
and
cool.
And it was just like cool. And he was just, you know, he's... where was he born? In California?
I think he's born in California, but Mexican American, if I'm not mistaken,
or Colombian.
Colombian
American. But it was just he was just talking about just what it was like living in Aberdeen, coming from California, and sort of the culture shock and stuff like that. So there's ever since, especially since he played there, when I'm looking at,
we have an affinity to it now.
Affinity to it. And then, you know, so like I play on a Sunday league team and my goalkeeper is Scottish and he's from Glasgow and he's a Celtic guy through and through.
Can I guess something? You've got a Scottish goalkeeper playing in America. Is he absolutely mental?
I mean, he can get there. Sometimes. Yeah. Yes. He's had a couple. There was something he said. I wish I could remember, but he was upset about a call or something like that. And he was swearing. And he might have been like fucking hell or something like that. But because something was lost in translation, like the person thought, like the ref thought he was saying something directly at him, and the ref was getting mad at it because it might have been like a slur or something. I forgot exactly what it was, but he was.
The Scottish accent doesn't.
When he gets upset, he gets very, very Scottish. And, and the ref thought he was like delivering like a slur at him when he was sort of mad at himself or mad about a call or something like that.
Just screaming at this guy.
So yeah, he can get there. He's like the nicest guy, but as soon as something like goes awry on the pitch, he's just like, we call him Jag. And we're like, Jag, Jesus. Like, so tone it down. It's a co-ed kind of fun league. We're just trying to not get injured.
Actually, you're a Simpsons guy. How close was that Scottish janitor character to
groundskeeper Willie?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, Willie comes from, he's actually, he's from Aberdeen at certain times. He's from other places in Scotland at others. I think it's a really good comedy accent that Castellaneta does for Willie. There's another player playing in Aberdeen just now who is actually from New York City called Dante Pulvara. Do you know him?
Yes.
Did he come from New York City FC?
I think so.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That he was. I don't think he ever played for NYCFC, but he might. Yeah, I think he was in the
MLS6 Pro.
He was a youth. He was in the youth academy.
Amazing.
And he left in 2023.
Oh, we got to go out and visit. We got to go out and visit the homie.
All right.
Well, when you come to New York, we'll fly to Aberdeen afterwards.
I'm so up for that. Oh, what a night out we'll have there. I'll get you booked on the comedy things as well. That's
amazing.
I'd be blessed.
JJ Bull, where can people follow you? What do you recommend people
the
go?
The music. Yeah. Where can people see the music videos?
All your work.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, so like the best thing for me, if you want to help me out, would be to follow me on YouTube. You just look up JJ Bull, or it's just another stupid name, but JJ Bull, you'll find that. It's where I'm doing the songs. My work, if you want to see me do football analysis, I do work for The Athletic. But my own stuff, I do my own YouTube channel, and I'm on Instagram and TikTok. And if you want to share anything on those, or just like them, or just tell me something nice, just put a frog in the comment. That's fine. That you can come and do that. Just put frogs in the comments. And
a little ribbit. All right.
I'm gonna put Pepe the frog.
Hey, please don't do that.
To just show me and all my 4chan community. No,
he's kidding. Thank God. Couldn't have a podcast with that guy. Please tell everyone over at Tifo that they have a lot of fans in America. We're very big fans of their work.
Okay.
And I don't know how Seb got involved with you guys. You guys are all very silly, and Seb is one of the most serious human beings I've ever met. Has a really funny.
That's why it works. Huh? That's why it works. Like when Seb's there, and it's because like the thing that it works for me is that I get bored of serious stuff, and then I'll derail it. But I'm not allowed to, and there's naughtiness in there, and I think that's why it's funny. Like, if you start talking about goblins, like I was told in a meeting this year to talk less about goblins.
You know what I remember? You guys used to talk a lot about there was a skeleton in Joe's house or something. The skeleton kept popping up out of nowhere, and I'm like, what the hell is this bit? I missed the beginning of it.
I think skeletons, lizard and skeleton are my two favorite comedy words. It's my go-tos. And we're doing these bits where Joe's doing monologues, but like it's like writing stand-up. So I was just writing stand-up for Joe. I think the funniest thing in the world is watching someone trying not to laugh. Like if they can't breathe because they're trying not to laugh. So like, bloopers from sitcoms are much funnier than the actual sitcoms, you know? Like I watch the Always It's Always Sunny bloopers, like when I need to get on in the zone to be on a show or something like that. But the skeleton in the shed was a funny thing, because if you deliver, it's like a bait and switch where you just set up one thing, and then you think he's gonna be really worried about the effect of climate change on the environment, but then he says, which is obviously the most important thing of all that I'm most worried about, the skeleton in my shed. And then you can turn it from there and play with it, and then it becomes a running.
It's a lovely comedic.
They were having like a serious conversation. Then he brings up skeleton in the shed. I was like, where did that come from, bro? That's what I was like. I think I love
that's
these guys.
I like, it's that's a lovely I like, comedic yeah. device. Yeah. JJ, this has been awesome, man. It's great meeting you. And like Alexis said, we're huge fans of your work and everything you guys do. And I'm
so
sure
nice.
Yeah, you will. I'll be scrolling and you'll pop over my feed and you'll tell me something that I'm going to be fascinated by that I didn't know I needed to know.
Yeah.
So JJ Bull, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, what an amazing interview.
Shout out to JJ Bull.
Hey, if you want to check out that whole thing, we can only give you a small part of it because we got a lot of stuff to talk about on the show. But if you want to check out the whole thing, go to patreon.com/soccercooligans.
Exactly. A lot of people joined on the last episode after the Kelly Nascimento.
Because we're
interview.
Dangling these carrots in front of you.
Hey, you know you want.
Get in here. Huh?
You know you want these full interviews.
It's a cheeseburger on a stick. Alexis, get in here.
So yeah, patreon.com/soccercooligans if you want the full interview. All right.
He's a great guy, man. Yeah. We will be doing that show, by the way.
That sounds really, really fun.
Yeah. That sounds like something we should be a part of.
Exactly. So,
we'll make that happen.
We're going to make that happen.
And you know what? Patreon members get access to tickets first. How about
that? Hey, look at that. Look at Alexis.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans.
We haven't even discussed this. Alexis is already making offers.
You know what, buddy? I'm here to make money.
All right. We're going to do some rapido reactions to wrap up the show. Producer Carter will be tossing a couple topics our way. We have 90 seconds to opine on them. So, Carter, what do we got first?
All right, starting off strong here. Saudi Arabia has officially won the World Cup bid for 2034. What are your thoughts?
Finally, the little guy gets something good, huh?
Look, I'm just saying it's been far too long that our richest oil nations have been overlooked, okay? Mm-hmm. Haven't really gotten the opportunities on the world stage to show that they can host such a beautiful tournament as the World Cup.
Hey, you know what? By then, we might not even be on oil, bro. We might all be on battery, bro. These drones flying over New Jersey, bro. They might give us some new technology.
We're at a point in when it comes to with stuff with FIFA. It's hard to kind of surprise us anymore. This was with the 2030 World Cup being in Spain, Morocco,
and Portugal,
and then.
Paraguay.
And featuring, you know.
Yeah. Uruguay and Argentina. Because Uruguay was the host of the first ever.
So they're like.
So we got to get the guy who sounds like Uruguay, Paraguay in there.
Exactly. And they have. So the rule that FIFA instituted recently was that if a confederation hosts a World Cup, they can't host the next two. So if any country from that continent hosts a World Cup. Then,
so how do you clear everybody out of the way?
They clear.
Saudi Arabia could give them a big check. I mean, host the World Cup.
And look, it is what it is. I mean, people will be angry about it and frustrated with it. But this is like.
Right. We're not talking human rights. People might be upset. I am interested in the NEOM, that weird city they're building.
Okay.
They got a stadium there.
I can't wait.
I just want to see what it looks like.
They're going to be some.
What else? We got Carter.
All right, next year, David Coote, after investigation, has been fired.
I don't know why that sound just came out.
Okay, they dug up all the dirt they needed. Yeah. But no, David Coote is officially sacked. He is no longer going to be a referee.
Actually, we should probably say he got baggied.
He got baggied. Sure, whatever. Okay, he's going to be starring the new season of The Wire.
Just step on the product, mate.
No, I mean, not too much of a shock here. But I think the only shock here is that a referee can get fired for like something. You know what I mean? Like usually.
Well, not for being a bad referee.
Not for being
a bad referee. You get
promoted. I mean, but what he did is being a bad referee. Like that's you have to behave in a particular way.
I mean, whatever. You're drunk or worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're not thinking about like best practices from work at that moment, especially if you made the decisions to end up at some stranger's house and filming yourself. You've shown bad judgment, but whatever. I mean,
it's kind of.
I think the judgment to get to that point is with showing bad judgment. Probably is not something you can trust.
Yeah,
and then you find out that potentially there's drugs involved, or maybe there was ill will towards certain clubs. Now you can't be trusted anymore.
Yeah, there's something about referees that I just assume they're just wholesome people. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just assume they're like.
I think it's because you've not met a lot of referees.
I think I haven't met enough. Yeah. I had. I think the people.
Christine Uncle runs an underground gambling room, dude. How do you not know that?
Oh, Christina, aka Black Widow.
What else you got, Carter?
All right, next here, Jesus Ferreira and Paul Areola are rumored to go to the Seattle Sounders. Your thoughts?
Damn, Paul Areola should have gone to Brest in France. I think that would have been
Just yeah, just perfect. The just, name Areola on yeah. a breast kit is,
and if there's some guy named Bobby Underboob, you also get to go.
I mean MVP.
Bobby yeah, Underboob. Joey Sideboob, my guy, get in the squad.
No, this is a it's a couple things because players like Paul Areola and Jesus Ferreira, who you know Jesus Ferreira and Paul Areola, did he go to the World Cup or he did not? He was left off.
I know he was on the national team, but I don't believe he was part of the World Cup.
Yeah, him and Ricardo Pepi were left off. So yeah. The bubble guys, right? Yeah. And
fringe guys.
And this is there's a little bit of like, what does this mean for their careers?
I mean, Paul Areola went got purchased by FC Dallas to win. And they didn't win.
Yeah.
But Jesus Ferreira, we should probably talk about that because
DP contract.
This guy was supposed to be going to Europe, but now he's going to Seattle. It's not exactly Europe.
Yeah. So I think Tom Berger was reporting that it is a rumor right now, or at least maybe there's conversations or negotiations, but the deal is dependent upon Jesus Ferreira signing a long-term deal to stay in Seattle for. You know, he might be sold to another team. Who knows? But I don't know. Is this the right move?
They need a goal scorer.
They do. They need. Inarguably, it's a better situation than being in Dallas.
Yeah,
Dallas is a whole. It's like all right. They ring the bell. New project.
I'll leave it there. I didn't agree or disagree though.
Yeah. What do we got next, Carter?
All right. Next year, San Diego FC completed their expansion draft. What did you thought?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got three players.
They picked. So expansion draft for any of our European followers and listeners. Whenever there's a new team that joins Major League Soccer, they get to pick.
Every other team can protect some of their players, mm-hmm. a certain percentage. 11, the rest of
11
them,
players.
The rest of them are available to be chosen who now have to go to that other team. I understand that sounds insane to you Europeans. get ready for buckle your seatbelt because the three players that were picked are Jasper Lofelsen,
mm-hmm.
Heine Gickling, Brunseth and Hamidi Jope. And I've made none of those names up, I promise
they
you.
They are real names. And then one of the other ones is Thiago Andrade, who we obviously remember him, New York City FC.
Yeah, he was on loan in China.
He was on loan in China, which I thought he was on loan in Brazil. I did not even realize he went to China.
Oh, my man went to SZ Peng City.
And so
Peng mean like a hot chick in England? She's Peng. I believe. Or now that's old. Like it might be like she's Lang now is the new one. But anyway, Peng City. That sounds great.
So no, but this seemed out of the players that we know. Obviously, we don't know the other three too well. But Thiago Andrade, a great player, don't know exactly why it didn't work out at New York City FC. It wasn't ever really explained. But he was an important part in the MLS
scored,
Cup winning season.
Scored some big goals his first few games.
Yeah, yeah. So
wasn't he Thiago goal?
He was for a little bit. But so San Diego picked him, but then traded him to Toronto FC. So he is now a Toronto FC player. Right. All the GAM and TAM was
no
exchanged.
Coaches up there. Enjoy.
So we'll see what happens with San Diego.
What
all
else?
All right, your last one here. The New England Revolution have gotten rid of their shirt sponsor. What are your thoughts?
Right
who
in the
was
nick
their
of time?
Shirt sponsor, Christian?
Who was their shirt sponsor? Oh, that's right. United Healthcare.
Yeah. New England called them and said, we deny your right to be our shirt sponsor.
Yeah, we're living in an interesting time where we all know Luigi Mangione. Yeah. Okay, Italy's finest export. No, but this is obviously there was a murder and it was obviously very very terrible, but. The anger.
Yeah, you shouldn't kill people.
You shouldn't kill people. Right. But
someone should tell healthcare execs.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it goes both ways.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
all we're saying.
Yeah.
But
the score is one to like a billion right now.
So the societal. There's a sort of. We're at a sort of a turning point or some inflection point at the very least of how people are, you know, sharing all these stories about healthcare and everybody has had some sort of, kind of bad experience.
This is now my wife's job is fighting with healthcare companies.
Yeah. And so United Healthcare.
Because they're denying claims for cancer patients.
All right. Which, you know how they bleed the industry dry or whatever.
They don't need your help. That's not why they pay every month.
Get off the tit.
Get off the Stade Brestois.
That's absurd. So, yeah. Probably a good move and good timing for.
I don't think they were related, but great timing if you're the New England Revolution organization.
It wouldn't have worked out too well.
Was that it?
That's it, everybody. Another Happy the Reactions in the book. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to JJ Bull for joining us.
Bro, we had a great time. Almost hit myself in the face.
Alexis just almost got injured. He might have had to call.
I said probably wear an eye patch on this damn show.
The microphone was going to hurt him. We got to call United Healthcare for coverage.
I'm denied. It turns out it was a pre-existing condition. So
okay. So make sure you follow us. Follow JJ as well and everything. And go to subscribe to his YouTube channel, as he mentioned. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, at Soccer Cooligans. Follow us on all socials. Follow us on Blue Sky as well. Having a lovely time there. Just interacting with people, actual human beings.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
It is a lovely experience. So at soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that little bell that tells you every time we upload an episode.
Okay. It's the least you can do, though. Yeah. So anything else that I missed? I don't think so.
Just saying goodbye.
We have, do we have a guest on Monday? I don't think we do. No.
Hey, right. It's just us.
It's
just me and you.
Be on the lookout. All
alone,
right.
Alone, finally.
We will see you on Monday. Have a lovely weekend. Hope all your teams lose, everybody.
Wow. The Grinch is here.
Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.